biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Broson Joe Brody.
And this is Follow Bob.
This is Alita.
This is Halston Bobby.
This is Darewolf PJ Black.
This is Kathy Campanelli.
This is Tom Garland. That's right, comedian Tom Garland from the movie Headstrong with Rob Van Dam. And right now, you are listening to the
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys podcast. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, you can catch me outside. How about that?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
Is it time for wrestling talk?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
It's time for my wrestling talk.
Don't bother me. It's time for wrestling talk.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents Wrestling Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got all of the bad boys here with me. And we just finished watching NXT TakeOver 31. And fellas, does NXT ever fail us? I mean,
no.
I can't think of a time where they ever do. Four matches. And, I mean, all of them on point. Let's start with the NXT North American Championship with Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano. Fellas, what do you think of that particular match? Damian is a beast, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Without question. I mean, that match was so good. For a minute there, I thought that Johnny might have pulled it off. But it was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was also good too, because hearing an echo there. But I really felt that it showed the strengths of both Priest and Gargano. Gargano having a counter literally for most of the match. I mean, it just, like I said, he's been in matches before where he's been outsized, and again, he showed why he is Johnny Wrestling essentially. Excellent match from start to finish.
Did anyone have any doubts that that Damian was going to was not going to win this match at all?
I thought it was the coronation, baby. I thought it was going to be king and queen tonight.
Mm.
Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae.
Yeah. You mean team HOA?
Yeah.
We're about as annoying as the HOA in your neighborhood. That's why I call them team HOA.
Yeah, I thought it might have happened, but. Not tonight.
Not tonight. No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I you'd be dumb to go through and think that they were going to give you that storybook ending, Lucky. Come on. I don't know how else to say it. But, obviously... That's one great thing with NXT is, they set you up for these storylines and then it just ends up being a giant red herring. And I think that, as we've seen creative teams come and go from NXT, the storylines have always been solid. They've always been on point, and it just blows my mind how that cannot happen on the main roster.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. And by the way, let me welcome all of our viewers right now. We are live streaming on Facebook, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Periscope, and all the above and all that. So we do welcome all of you and thank you for being a part of it. And live video comments. If you got a comment you want to break, type in. We'll try to get it on at some point. Especially, if you watch the shows as well and you want to get your point across. So it looks like before we even jump to our next match, the Capitol Wrestling Center. What do you guys take on that? You know, I'll be honest with you, before I read up on what it is, I was wondering, like, where are they moving to? You know, where is this place? You know, and so
shut up, Lucky. Just shut the fuck up. You did not predict shit.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you. Your dumb ass was like, hey, they need to expand the performance center right after they laid off the people. So fuck off. You were the one who came up with this. And by the way, if you want to say, oh, I take credit for this, more than please go ahead and take credit, because it looks so fucking stupid. It wasn't a fucking update at all.
Yeah. Wow. Mm. Wow. Damn.
Yeah. He's a little bitter tonight.
I will have to disagree slightly. Not at all. I would have to disagree slightly, although it wasn't imaginative and mind-blowing what they did with it. I do like the slight adjustments of having the screens elevated high enough and then still keeping what NXT has done thus far, kind of having like a cage atmosphere. I had mentioned in the Vegas Bad Boys podcasting app, which you can download on Google Play and Apple, while we're watching it, I said it's like Thunderdome meets Fight Club. And I liked it. I liked the energy. I know you don't like it, Michaels, and that's okay. Everybody can have an opinion. But, you know, I will say...
your opinion's wrong.
Well, it doesn't matter if my opinion's wrong. Your frown is a little jacked up, and it's okay, bro. You can be in your feelings. But I'm not, and I thought it was great. And I know you respect my opinion, don't you, Michaels?
I can respect your opinion, but I can't agree with your taste.
Thank you. You don't have to agree with me. You just have to respect my opinion, because I respect yours. Fine, sir.
Well, listen, the folks that were in the CWC were excited. I guess apparently they're going to start playing around with the idea of having some fans there. I think tonight they were having friends and family of wrestlers that was coming through acting as fans. But, you know, they're just getting closer to that moment of getting it back to where it used to be. On to our next match, Velveteen Dream and Kushida. What was your take? King Lucky's giving that look like he wasn't really buying it, but I mean, Kushida came right. I mean, he didn't even get an intro. He just came right in the ring and just started going off on Velveteen. What was your guys' take on that?
I thought it was amazing.
Lucky, say how, oh, yep, they're not using their dream right.
Yep.
And he should be the champion, and he should put him on a pedestal.
Go ahead.
Listen.
Oh, fuck. Predictable.
Listen. I'm okay. The dream's he's serving out some punishment, baby. I knew he was going to take the L. As soon as they had him take the match, I knew where it was going.
Oh, so now, now you're not outraged. You picked the match. You already knew the match.
I already knew. For fuck's sake. It was clear.
You're floating on everything, dude.
What were they going to do?
Instead of making yourself a fucking shirt, make yourself a pair of flip-flops.
Yeah, sure. Hey, listen. Damn. When the match got announced, I mean, I knew Kushida was going to win. I didn't think Dream had a chance at winning. So... Go make yourself a pair of flip-flops next time.
What are you fucking talking about? Next time, D, take the fucking poll beforehand, all right? Take the predictions, because we did new predictions. This motherfucker's just going to change his mind on everything and anything.
Listen, I'm not a Kushida fan, okay? But I realize that he was set up to win this one. So, there's no brainer.
Set up to win.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. All right, I don't even really have much to say to that. You can you just dug your own hole with that.
I don't know how. I just he was booked to win. You want me to say it that way? How about that?
All right. I have to interject. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. King Lucky, that's a little bullshit, and you didn't do your homework, because if you had you'd have known that Kushida been hot since 2005. And I'm glad that NXT is finally showcasing him for everybody else who watched Kushida when he was in New Japan.
Wait. Hold on. You're blowing my mind here. Kushida, his last name is Benhot?
I didn't say that.
You just said.
I just Kushida said Benhot. He Benhot, man, bro.
No, no, bro. You said Benhot. Kushida Benhot.
I'm glad you guys got off my nuts and got on his. How about that?
Hey, that's all right. That, he says. First of all, I got enough nut for everybody to have a bite if that's what we're talking about. Oh,
my Lord.
Yeah, I said it. God damn it, these balls is huge. Oh. But besides the point, what I am saying is I'm happy to see that, and even before this match, that they're finally showcasing Kushida like I envision it. You know, we all have a wish list of people that we see come in, and we want to see good things from them based on what they've done in previous in other promotions. And I'm finally glad to see it. It was a great match. You know, Kushida turned on the intensity, did not let up at all, and beat the shit out of Velveteen Dream, Doc Brown wannabe costume. I was wondering why he came out with gloves on. I thought he was going to clean some shit.
Yeah.
But it made sense. It finally put the two pieces together. I said, I get it. Kushida dressed up as Marty McFly from Back to the Future, and he was Doc Brown. But it was a great match. Really great match.
Since you're so high on Kushida, I want you to tell me what his ceiling is in the WWE. Let's start with NXT first.
In NXT, I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the picture as North American Champion. I easily, probably within the next couple of months, and I'm being bold with that statement. I think right now he's really good. Now, as far as WWE is concerned, if he goes up to the main roster, we do know that WWE has had a past where they haven't been too good. We're promoting Japanese wrestlers, but they've gotten better. Asuka's seen some better days, and we'll see what happens. You know, I would like to see the ceiling be as high as it possibly can. I like him. He's a fan favorite. You know, hate me if you want. It's my opinion.
Indeed.
And so, he been out.
And I guess after the match, I mean, Kushida went back on him. I mean, just went back hard on him.
That was actually something that stood out for me because, mm-hmm. you know, I, for most of his career, he's always been a babyface, you know, mm-hmm. Rather milk toast, kind of straightforward, a kid, basically. I mean, he's Marty McFly. Like, he's been running that gimmick for years and years and years. So
it wasn't intentional that they had a kid beat up on Dream.
That was where I was going.
Oh,
well, at least he didn't ask him to work out first.
So, but all shit aside, once you look at the subtext of them using a Marty McFly clone and, you know, a everyday young teenager beating the shit out of Velveteen Dream, then, you know, it's all good. But even in spite of that, the you know, with all of the aggression that Kushida showed, mm-hmm. Especially as of late, he's always been a babyface, and you know, he's never really shown a whole lot of intensity. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's about damn time that we start to see this side of this character and see where he goes from here. Honestly, I'd love it if he just, you know, went full on heel.
Mm.
You okay. know what I'd like too, Sin City? I would like somebody to call him Chicken. You Chicken, since he's Marty McFly. You Chicken, and then he just turns on and goes that intensity that way.
Excellent.
I know, Matt Michaels, you hated that shit. I get it.
Jesus.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, we go right over into our next match, the NXT Women's Championship. Io Shirai, Candice. Oh, what happened? What happened, Sin City?
You skipped the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah, totally did.
Oh, I sure did.
Lucky. That was Lucky's okay. favorite match.
You're right. I'm so sorry. NXT, thank you for the correction. Cruiserweight Championships. Santos Escobar versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. All right. You know what? I was ready to just make that one my favorite match of the entire night, to be honest with you. and I really didn't know which way. I mean, I was also in the app, and I had told, hey, I thought Santos more than likely was going to win, and I thought it would be because his crew was going to come in to do something with that. But at some point when I saw that they were now out of it, I was like, well, maybe Isaiah might have a shot here. I don't know. What do you guys take on it?
I thought that this match was extremely solid. It accomplished mm-hmm. exactly what it needed to do. Mm-hmm. You gave legitimacy and credibility to your champion, and you also helped to build a babyface and just continue, even in the loss. Swerve looked amazing, and mm-hmm. despite the loss, I'd say that he definitely got some shine.
Yeah.
Well, there was. I was actually interested in the match based on, the promos that the guys cut this week. So I thought it was, the match was really good. And I'm not a cruiserweight guy, right? Everybody knows this. But I
knew that he was going to retain the title. We know. Next. Sorry, I watched the debate this week, and that was the worst thing you could have ever shown me, because now I learned a couple tricks.
That's dope. I love it. That was a good one.
Oh, man, you on the road today, bro. I love it.
Yeah. Who else got something to say about that, man? This is Santos Escobar.
You know what? I really, really enjoyed this match. Kudos goes off to NXT. Just how they've been really showcasing, was it about a year ago when they got the NXT Cruiserweight? That was primarily going to be on NXT. They've really done a great job with that. This match kind of just sums it up and shows it. You know, it's just amazing. You know, like Lucky said, you know, the promos were spot on. The action in the ring was spot on. And it did not leave me disappointed. I actually, when the match ended, I was like, man, I could have let that go on for another 15 minutes and been okay. That's just me. I know Michaels might disagree. Maybe, maybe not. But I enjoyed it. It was an excellent, excellent match. Love to see them go at it again.
Right. Okay. We'll jump now over into the women's NXT with Io Shirai and Candice right here. What was your you guys take on that? Io still is our champion, our women's champion. But yeah, I was pretty shocked. I thought Candice had a pretty good chance, being that I thought what would have been a really good storyline with that, which part of it did happen. Gargano came out to help, but I actually thought maybe he was going to actually, help really pull to get her that title. But that didn't happen. So I don't know. What would you guys take on that particular match there?
Well, before I get rudely interrupted, I thought she could have won the match too. Mm-hmm. And it was a very good contest. I like the swerve with Johnny coming down the whole nine, a lot of false finishes. And I thought she might have taken the title home. But you know what? It was cool the way they ran it out. I mean, Candice LeRae, I don't know when her time is going to be. Now you introduce Ember Moon and Toni Storm into the picture. So, who knows?
Well, I'll tell you this. In the words of Matt Michaels, she doesn't need it. She doesn't need it. Which is true. She doesn't need it. She doesn't need a title. The Garganos, a.k.a. the HOA, they don't need titles. You still watch them.
Yeah.
You watching this podcast, you still watch them.
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point with that, too. I mean, I could see them being almost like, I don't want to say gatekeepers, because that would imply that they're there strictly for like new people to get over on. But yeah, I could definitely see them as, just talent to help build the other talent there. It wouldn't really surprise me. I mean, we all know how Vince feels about short dudes, and Johnny Gargano is not exactly a tall dude. So yeah, I think that this is, I don't want to say this is their ceiling within WWE, but at the same time, I think that they will be a very useful asset in NXT for as long as Vince is still kicking.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget, too, I mean, they've done more together than Maria and Mike Kanellis did.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
why not? Just, you know, I mean, when you know where your place is,
yep.
Why the hell? Why disrupt it? So that's fine. Let's talk about, though, Toni Storm coming back is pretty exciting.
Yes.
Ember Moon being the reveal of the person who was coming back was probably about as fucking pointless as, you know, why was there that? What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I felt similar as you did, Michaels. I felt like where they pulled that spot for her to reveal herself, it wasn't great. I mean, you were coming off of Toni Storm, which we was all excited for, and right. Then you show her on a crotch rocket, and she comes in about to take off the helmet, doesn't take it off, but then takes it off, and it's Ember Moon. I felt like that would have been better served probably earlier in the show, maybe.
It would have been better served if it was Toni Storm.
I would love to see Toni Storm on a bike. I'd be cool with that.
But the thing is that promo, that setup, that person that's returning, they did this video setup for this the past few weeks, and mm-hmm. that's your payoff? Ember fucking Moon? Really?
Yeah. It's really kind of lackluster, man, because, yeah, you've been building up this moment, and it ends up being a second return or return announcement in the same fucking 5-minute segment.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's what I was like.
That was probably one of the only times that I can remember watching NXT and being like, what the actual fuck is this?
And it would have made, hey, if there were two announcements, and first one was Toni Storm, and then the second one was someone who, you know, had been around, or what if it was fucking Charlotte Flair? Boom, that's fine. Toni Storm, Charlotte Flair. Toni Storm, Ember Moon.
Yeah.
Like,
well, let's kind of take this conversation a little bit further. I mean, we're all familiar with Ember Moon. She's great in the ring. Mm-hmm. My opinion, the one thing she's always severely lacked in is on the mic. She never conveyed that she was confident.
Did you guys watch her when she was out and she was on the backstage, the canceled Fox show? She was fucking phenomenal on the mic.
Hmm. Well, I mean,
good.
Hopefully
it can transition to where we need it to be for her, you know, second coming NXT.
It's not that her mic skills weren't good. It's that the way they wrote the character, there was nothing there for it.
Yeah, you got to make a point. You make a point.
Facts.
What also makes this fail just mind-bogglingly just boring. Just like, okay, all right. If she would have came out and fucking cut a great promo on Shirai and how she's coming for the fucking belt, great. But even, like you said, Simon, the little pause of that fucking helmet, it was ridiculous. It was just, all right, you guys did fuck up something pretty that could have been good.
I'll tell you what, as good as her top rope finisher is, I think she's got a, hopefully there's something else in that arsenal. I've always said she needed a second finisher, and now maybe it to be her main finisher, just because it's really unbelievable that you could hit that.
Dude, it's 2020. It's going to be her riding on that motorcycle, running over people. Once again, it was a fucking vehicle used in a fucking angle in 2020. Thank you, 2020.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have to do some improvements with her moving forward to just make the best of her second debut. We can only wait and see. I mean.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, Ember. I was trying to get you back, but seemed like it didn't work. So my apologies, Ember.
You should have told her to take the helmet off the first time.
Yeah.
Because that was a hell of a pause. I was like, well, you're not taking the helmet off? You're not taking it off?
Well, you know, her spot could have been used to open the show, which they were doing all that stuff and, you know, zooming, and then she hit the door and then boom, you know?
Yep.
And my reaction would have been the fucking same. Oh, it was Ember Moon.
All right. Well, let's move over to our last match, the NXT Championship. Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly Was this everything you guys imagined it would be?
Yes.
Yeah.
And amazing. If we had a real
crowd, blood capsules and everything.
If we had a real crowd, you would have heard the chant, "Fight forever." Mm-hmm. I truly believe we would have had that chant if we had a real crowd.
Had a real crowd. They were on video screens.
We had a live crowd that was physically there in the capacity before COVID. I feel that that chant, "Fight forever," would have been out. It was an excellent match. I'm so happy to see Kyle O'Reilly finally be able to showcase another person that, you know, if you kept up with him before he got to WWE, it's phenomenal. So, I mean, it was great. You know, I enjoyed the match. It was awesome.
Okay. Anybody else want to throw their two piece in on that?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle O'Reilly has arrived.
Mm.
This match was absolutely one of the best WWE matches that I've seen this year. Mm. Just nice. Mark it down.
Yeah.
And the thing that stands out for me is that they took so long to give O'Reilly this spot. But now that they did, and now that he delivered, I think that people are going to rally behind him. And Michaels, I think that you were the one that proposed the storyline of, you know, separating Cole from the era. And I think that you could actually do that now, especially with the events that happened after the match. So I think that it was a job well done by absolutely everybody involved. But this match was the best WWE match I've seen all year.
Wow. I've seen a lot there.
You know, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that I really got intrigued by was to kind of go against myself on that thought. And the reason being is this. When he brought him into, when he's carrying Cole on his shoulder, okay, you had Dexter Lumis already. We saw him backstage. So put those two psychopaths together. And then, why don't you fucking pull the switch and have Finn Balor lead those crazy motherfuckers? That would be beautiful. You know, just a fucking evil cult. Now, if you don't want to go Finn Balor, if the company doesn't want to pull the trigger on that, maybe he goes to EU because Adam Cole's going up or, you know, whatever. Then why not the Garganos leading those two psychopaths? Because obviously Johnny's a little woo, and so is Candace. It would make sense.
Damn.
It's interesting.
As long as it's not Ember Moon.
Damn.
I'm sorry, Ember.
You ain't getting no love. No love.
My apologies.
You better do something to knock our socks off.
I just thought the timing was right. I'm sorry. All right.
Not the timing with taking that helmet off.
King Lucky, before I jump over, was there anything you wanted to mention on that match? Or
Rich Holland's got a huge upside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Michael's hit on something good. If they could put those two guys together maybe and package them with somebody else, I think that would be a really cool storyline. But huge upside for that guy. Look, he can work, and he looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the biggest thing of the night is – we have a Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
Yes. So excited. Woo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Of course, it showcased the beautiful Shotzi Blackheart. Man, I tell you what, I never thought there'd be somebody that can encroach the mind and heart space that Sasha occupies. Shotzi Blackheart has done that. She is the Elvira of NXT, and every time I see her work, it is beautiful.
So. So
encroach.
They think of her so highly as to have her host it instead of actually wrestle on it.
Hey, I take her in any capacity I can get her in. I'm good.
I like her hosting it. She's right now, she's on an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm okay with it. You know, yeah. You don't have to feature her on every show.
Yeah, but they didn't feature her on this show. Yeah. Well, what the fuck?
Well, now
I've had great words about her, but hey, that's cool. We don't have to watch her wrestle.
It's coming. It's coming.
Well, you know what? And I'll tell you right now, NXT is just stacking the deck with all this women's talent. I mean, they're so deep now that Tony's coming, you know, and Ember Moon's back. I mean, they just have so many women. I'm wondering who's going up. We'll talk about that later.
let me guess. You have the recipe, and you're going to tell us.
No. Only got one pick.
Oh, you only got one pick?
You only get one pick. All right.
All right. It doesn't matter. He'll tell us next week after the fucking draft is done that he picked them all.
Right. The king is always right. Hashtag my king.
All right. No. Hashtag the king's fold stinks.
Okay, so was there anything then that happened on Wednesday night that wasn't a part of the pay-per-view the night that you think, you know, should be talked about?
Yes. Shotzi Blackheart started off the show. It was a good match. I enjoyed her. They had a lot of good, you know, going home show, you know, leading up to NXT TakeOver 31. Yeah. It was a good, solid show. Lucky's favorite part was Cameron Grimes. You know, I'm sure Lucky found that to be very entertaining.
He'll be the co-host of Halloween Havoc. Cameron Grimes!
I feel like Cameron Grimes should sell like moonshine. Like I could just see him sell like I don't know, bathtub potato whiskey or vodka or some shit. I don't know. I don't know moonshine, but he looked like somebody sells that shit.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, he did a great
job.
That
was it? Okay.
With a go-home show, that was it.
Gotcha.
Santos Escobar, that little deal where he was in the room, looked like freaking Tony Montana, you know.
Right.
That's what had me intrigued to watch the match. But, yeah, it was a good show.
You mean that wasn't Andrade?
Well, I tell you what, if they push the button on Santos, he's going to replace Andrade on the main roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'll be real with you.
Yeah.
You should.
Because I'm telling you right now, he is entertaining to watch. He's very confident. When he's doing his promos and his ring presence is great. I just like the whole thing about it. I want to see a main roster intact.
Especially when you compare it to Andrade, who was on the mic on Monday night, which was good God. Holy shit.
It's Zelina Fort. Zelina Fort.
Well, while we're at it, let's just jump right over into Monday night. King Lucky, let us know about the show, what you like or dislike.
Well, first of all, Raw was glorious. You know, start from the end to the beginning.
He didn't win the match, though. That's what fucking, so you debut him just to have him fucking lose right off the bat?
Mm. Well, I knew he wasn't going to, I mean. But I do like the fact that he's
glorious about it. Then what's so glorious? What's great about this character?
Hey, he's back on TV. He's a hell of a wrestler, and
he's a jobber. Yeah. Seriously, that's how they're utilizing him, man. You just said it. Hey, you saw him. Yay, this is awesome. He's back. Ooh, he fucking lost.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I was still happy to see Bobby Roode, so don't piss on my robe like they did.
I would have rather had him be the guy in the fucking helmet.
Yeah. Why not? Shit.
Did you just say don't piss on your robe?
Yeah, you don't remember when they threw Bobby Roode's robe in the toilet?
It's coming to mind now. Yeah, it was about the
same time his career went in the toilet.
Basically.
Man, Bobby, don't listen to him, all right?
Now let me ask you this question. Should Bobby Roode do what Ember Moon did and go back to NXT?
Oh,
that's what I said.
Without question.
Oh, you did say that. My bad.
Without question, yeah.
Without question.
He should have been the motorcycle guy instead of Ember Moon. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Ember Moon, I'm sorry.
Maybe he'll get traded there on the draft. Maybe
I'm so sorry, Ember. Yeah.
Elsewhere, I was happy that Ali was back and picked up a win, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that is how you do it.
Yeah, but,
yeah, that was good. I like this new thing with Alistair that they're doing, but I'll tell you the music, you know, And also the gear too. Like have him have something that's more fucking edgier. You know, his shit Dude. Just the whole package right now with him. Vince just fucked him all up.
Well, hold on. This is the same motherfucker who is just excited for a guy who comes out in a row.
Yeah, but look, now listen, going, the music oh, was the music. Aleister Black's music is fucking shit, right? And then the attire that he had, dude. I was fine with him being Metal Gear Solid, baby. Cover that eye, you know, like that, and you know the fucking edgy like outfit. Like Big Boss.
Got you.
Yeah, man. Shit.
But apparently, it's funny how we're talking about Aleister Black. According to Kevin Owens, he's the same type of mentality as The Fiend, which we'll talk about later in SmackDown. I just thought it was kind of interesting as we're bagging on Aleister Black and what he don't got. I think what he did is he lost his mojo. I'm just my opinion. I agree with you. Look, I don't like him like this.
Character.
Yeah,
they took his gimmick away like a year ago when they called him up and they didn't know how to fucking use him when you were given the fucking playbook handed to you by your own fucking company. Use it.
I think that it speaks volumes that he was booked so well in NXT, like what everybody was saying. Mm-hmm. He gets to the main roster and immediately they don't know how to use him. But then when certain people take over on certain shows, then he just magically is on TV more frequently and is, you know, more enthralling as a character. And then when that person is no longer writing TV, then we are where we are right now.
Yeah, but if that guy wasn't writing TV, you know, if he was still writing TV, he wouldn't be with Roman.
Exactly.
Which made Roman this much better. So honestly, for the trade-off, I'd rather see Aleister Black suck
and see
Roman actually be a heel.
Unfortunately, I think that that we are starting to see the jobification of Aleister Black.
Damn.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, they took his gear, they took his music, they took his entrance.
They took his eye.
They took his eye.
We're in a fucking
But
they didn't take his girl.
And not yet.
Her, you know what?
Not until she gets drafted to fucking SmackDown.
Yeah, well, not only that, she'll be doing marriage angles with him on screen. Listen, lucky enough, Aleister is young enough that once Vince transitions into the light, they can still bring him back.
Transition.
By the time that happens, Aleister Black will be 55 and already have served three fucking turns in AEW. And
I was gonna say, by that time he would end up being AEW champion.
Hey, real talk. Of course, have y'all ever seen that show on Netflix called Altered Carbon? If that shit was fucking real, Vince McMahon would have a new sleeve, have his consciousness be traveled into some other new body, and still be running shit, and we'd still be fucking pissed off. Our grandkids would still be fucking pissed off if he could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
I mean, obviously, the biggest thing at the end of the night was Randy Orton, man. Fuck, that was so good. You know,
coming it's a little weird.
As the janitor, and then fucking just turn the lights out.
Okay.
And
put the those glasses. Shit out
of everybody.
Dude.
Where are those fucking glasses, though?
let's go to the easiest first question. Was he the janitor, or is he part of Retribution?
Yeah, that's what I thought when I initially saw him come on the screen.
Right? I'm thinking, wait, why is Erkovich about to go in there and dress? Wait, that's Randy Orton. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. He's got his night vision goggles. Apparently, he can see, but the camera... Which every other fucking time you do night vision, you show the guys getting beat up with night vision goggle camera, you know. But no, we're going to play it realistic this time. I should show you a black screen.
That's because they can't beat up the elderly on TV, man.
You know what's funny about that too is if we're looking at, you know, anachronisms and things that are done improperly. The fucking goggles or the glasses that he put on were actually welder's goggles. And what those are used to do is those are used to protect you from bright light.
Light, exactly.
Not darkness, and allow you to see in the darkness.
But the crew didn't have the night goggles in the truck, so they just grabbed them. Like, you could literally be like Vince walking down the hall going, "Wait, oh, hey, what are you wearing?" "Oh, these welding goggles. Night vision goggles. Great idea."
But you know what's so funny is he looked like more like a Ghostbuster with the goggles and the whole outfit than anything. I was like, what the fuck? And you know what's funny? The butt whooping he put on everybody must have not been that bad, because Shawn Michaels was right back at it on Wednesday, giving the best back and forth with Finn Balor.
Of course. I don't know. That could have been pre-recorded.
It probably was pre-recorded. But I'm just saying, for the regular person watching.
I'm not making anything of it. But the fact of the matter is that it's absolutely right. They did that blackout not because of Big Show, not because of Shawn, not because of Christian, because Ric Flair was relegated to driving the ambulance.
Yeah.
That means that he ain't taking any real bumps anytime soon.
Ever again.
Yeah.
You blow on Ric Flair, and there's a possibility he might be like Vince in transition.
But hey, you know what's so funny? And I didn't bring it up, but when he was driving the ambulance, I was thinking to myself, he's so old. Was his license revoked a long time ago and suspended like 10 years ago?
Dude, it was revoked back in 1976 when he got his first 10 DUI.
Like, you ain't supposed to drive, bro. You need to stop.
Oh, man.
That was good.
Last thing, you guys don't want to say nothing about Aaliyah and Murphy?
I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, it was good.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it wasn't. I mean, listen, you guys already know how I feel about the Mysterio family,
mm-hmm.
right? They're on TV way too much. But this Aaliyah thing, it's got some bite to it.
Okay.
And, you know, it's good.
Gotcha. All right.
First of all, they're still filling. Apparently, what they need to do is they bring in Ray's wife to fill up ring space. That's all she's there for. She's kind of like an easel. It's standing there, but it really doesn't say much unless you actually, you know, utilize it.
Remember, she's a mime, baby.
You know what's so not that, well, here's the thing I will say about that whole Aaliyah and Buddy Murphy thing. It's interesting because a lot of people were having a little bit of a problem with it at first because she's 19. He's technically, 32? But I thought it was interesting where they could take this. And that's where
she has to become a disciple of fucking Seth.
Yeah.
She has to partake in the community. Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's she going to get initiated?
Jesus Christ.
Next.
No, I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying, like,
subscribe to WWE OnlyFans.
No.
They want a piece of all that action too.
You're only 5 years older than your daughter, or 4 years older than
your
daughter.
I don't mean it in that way. And that's a good point. I'm wondering.
I'm sorry. I totally forgot you were hanging out with those high school.
Oh my god! Saying that y'all blew that.
You're cool, dude.
Nah, I get that. Hey, there's no R. Kelly vibes over here. But what I am saying is how are they going to transition?
You and Murphy are the same age too, aren't you?
I wish I was the same age as Murphy. Yes, I'm 32. 32.
Okay. All right.
No. I just want to see how they're going to transition her into joining
womanhood.
I'm telling you, WWE OnlyFans, right there. Subscribe.
No, boy.
I think that we do actually need to applaud WWE for some continuity.
All right.
For once, I never do it, and I never. So I, you know, I always get told that I never applaud WWE when they do things correctly. So obviously, up until last week, at the pay-per-view, Akira Tozawa was rumored to be eaten by a shark. And they were, they never really said anything about it. They just had his torn clothing. And everybody wondered, what the fuck happened to Akira Tozawa? Did he get eaten by the shark? Is that the innuendo? And then it was confirmed, ladies and gentlemen, confirmed that Akira Tozawa was indeed eaten by a shark. Or so we all thought. But the fact that they carried it over from last week to this week, I have to applaud them for it. And obviously the chicanery involved with the 24/7 championship and R-Truth and Drew Gulak was fun.
Yes.
That's all I can say about it. It was just fun.
Absolutely.
I enjoy hearing Tozawa Devawa. I can hear it again.
Tozawa Devawa.
Yeah, it's hard to say that five times.
No.
Well, we'll jump right over into Impact Wrestling. And I'll talk a little bit on what happened on Tuesday, and then apparently they had a pay-per-view that just popped out of nowhere this past weekend called a Victory Road. And so, but anyway, this past Tuesday, for the first hour, it was just women wrestling, and it was actually really good. Got a chance to see another match with Tennille Dashwood and Jordynne Grace, which Jordynne Grace won that match. The funny thing about Tennille is that she has her sort of a manager who is her photographer. The gimmick with him, and his name is Caleb, and you just always have to understand that it's with a K. So anytime, you know, anyone goes, hey, Caleb, he always go with a K, with the K. That's just kind of his gimmick. So it's pretty funny what they're doing with that whole thing, and he's running around with a camera taking pictures. But just make sure, if you ever hear that Caleb is with Tennille, he's going to let you know it's with the K. All right? EC3 is planning on having a funeral of the TNA title this Tuesday. If you guys can get access to the...
Get access to access?
I know, right?
Let's go right here to the heart of the matter. And so, Lucky, how's EC3 doing, huh? How's your boy doing in there, huh?
I'll tell you what. I was so excited when Impact Wrestling made all these moves, and now a month, 2 months later, all these moves are just – I'm not impressed.
So great. He's killing.
He's not. Yeah. I agree. Control your narrative. And his is whatever now.
Hey, if he wants to get that TNA championship, you know, he's got it now. He can bury it along with his career too. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's going to be, that'll be happening next week as well. We also had, Heath showed up, and apparently he says that management is now looking at him because of the big five-minute promo he had last week, caught their interest, and the whole hashtag that he has, Heath for Impact, seems to be catching some wind. So we'll see where that goes, and I think I'll mention that for the Victory Road pay-per-view that happened this past weekend. There was... as we know, Bravo is still having his wedding he's preparing with Rosemary. And he's been looking for this best man, which was Fala Ba. So, and of course, Swinger got a little bit upset about that. So they end up having a match. And it's still going to be Fala Ba in that. So Fala Ba is his best man until something else happens with that.
Hey, I thought his best man was Mero.
Was Mero?
Miro, whatever they call that guy, right? He's the best man, right?
Best man.
You mean Miro? Miro? Different show, but yeah.
That's another one.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's happening. And then, of course, Eddie Edwards, he was attacked last week when the lights went out, and he didn't know who.
Randy Orton? It was Randy Orton.
You know what? It wasn't Randy Orton, but it happened to be Ken Shamrock. So... You know, he's back at it and beating up on
Eddie. Wait. In Impact, they have the old men. They have the lights put out. The old men beat up the young guys. All right, I got it. I know why they're not winning anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So So that was Tuesday there. Then for Victory Road, just a few matches that they had. They did have an X Division championship match with Rohit and Willie Mack. They didn't. It wasn't a championship match. I'm sorry. It was just Rohit and Willie Mack. And then it says the winner for that was Willie Mack. So we'll see. A lot of these look like they just kind of threw some matches together. It was a Tommy Dreamer versus Brian Myers. Y'all know who Brian Myers, remember who Brian Myers is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Brian Myers
won. No, I don't. I don't.
Tell him who it is, King Lucky.
Yeah, King Lucky. Tell me who Brian Myers is.
Never mind, he's laughing. Curtis Hawkins. Okay.
Yeah, he's being heavy
either. Hey, look. All right.
He's just laughable to me.
Okay, and let's see.
Yes, it is.
Somehow Moose ended up fighting Trey Miguel because he pissed off Scott D'Amore, so he just threw him in a match with Trey, and Trey beat Moose. Oh, God.
Hold on. Time out. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I love how you just said, like, for some kind of reason, like, Moose ended up getting in a fight. Like, you said it like
yeah, he went to go talk to Scott, and he's bothering Scott, and Scott's like, stop bothering me about EC3 because it's been an ongoing thing between Moose wanting to know where EC3 is, because every time EC3 appears, it's always on video, and then he's always threatening to do what he's about to do this upcoming Tuesday with destroying this TNA title. So Scott D'Amore was like, look, leave me alone with this whole thing. You know what? Go fight Trey. And then Trey beat him.
Moose is spirit on fire as well over there. I love their stuff, but sometimes it just makes you just kind of go, what?
Yeah. Deanna Purrazzo, she had a match against Susie, and Deanna won that and retained.
Susie's still fighting her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to become.
The payoff should already happen.
She's still fighting that, yep. And then, of course, the world championship, Eric Young and Eddie Edwards, and Eric won, continue that. So, anyway, that's that. Everything is now, of course, leading up to their real pay-per-view they've been promoting for the past 3 months, Bound for Glory. So, that'll be something to be looking forward to. But that is pretty much all for Impact Wrestling. And we'll move right over into a... EW, Sin City Steve, what's been going on over there?
So obviously Cody answered Mr. Brody Lee's challenge, and you know, we'll see how this whole thing unfolds. I mean, Cody is getting these Hollywood gigs now. And what's he do? I mean, he could very easily, you know, wrestle clean and not even be on the show. But instead, he chooses to get involved in these gimmick matches. And now y'all know he is going to bleed buckets and probably throw another scar onto his face as a result of this damn dog collar match.
Hopefully the scar will be on his neck. Get rid of that tattoo.
Oh, shit. Wow. It's kind of cold-blooded there, bro. Outside of that, also Dr. Britt Baker made her illustrious return. And
didn't she return though technically in the
She did, but she wasn't cleared.
Yeah.
In the doctor's office match, she wasn't cleared at that time.
Okay. Yeah. So now Gen City. What's up?
Sorry to stop you. I just want to say that red velvet is my favorite cake. Okay, go ahead.
Wow. did you want a slice? Did you want a slice?
It's just my favorite cake. I just wanted to let people know it was. I'm sorry. Please continue.
No, dude, that's... Hey, DJ Impact with the sound bites, man.
You hear that? This is Impact. Boy. This is Impact. Your husband likes Red Velvet.
You know what? Hey, she knows already because I made that comment while I was next to her.
Hey, Sin City, this is the part where you tell Impact that the dentist didn't approve the consumption of Red Velvet.
Ooh, there you go. Nice wordplay.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I think that we can't gloss over is, okay, Moxley and, you know, his match against the Butcher, okay? When the match was announced, I was like, all right, obviously there's no way in hell that Moxley is going to lose to this guy who's a glorified job guy in a tag team, no less. So he's, you know, he's not as strong as singles competitors if we use, you know, certain methodology. So when that was announced, I was, it almost lost me straight up. But I have to give the Butcher some credit, man. He brought it. Not to the degree that Kyle O'Reilly brought it in NXT, in arriving, but I think that we finally can give the Butcher some credibility, because it was a solid match. It wasn't anything that was, you know, blow the doors off the arena or anything like that. But it also wasn't a complete shit fest like what I, to be honest, kind of thought that it would have been.
He had to put in that performance though, because it was absolutely imperative that he get a match like that on his reel so that when he submits it to NXT, they sign him.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, shit.
Hey, real quick, Sin City, did y'all notice that during the Britt Baker match, JR got a privilege to say that she's the what? Baddest bitch on the block? He was extra excited when he said that. They let you curse, old man. They let you curse.
They gave him a curse pass.
But no. And he was, again, talking about how thick she is in her arms. She's
thinking
arms.
He thought she was wrestling his funny kids.
I think that those were rewards to JR for not fucking up on commentary.
Yes.
So I think Tony Khan was back there in gorilla position, like, yeah, JR, you can go ahead and say that shit.
Didn't he sound totally liberated just being able to say that? Like, he was so happy and proud to say it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was there anything else on that show y'all liked?
Hell yeah.
Go ahead.
Why is Scorpio Sky wrestling with SCU again? What the fuck is going on, dude? I mean, they're just going backward with Sky. He wrestled with SCU on Dark, and now on this show, I don't know. I'm losing hope for Sky, man. I mean, you know, he's young, and they got a lot of future ahead of them.
He's not that young, bro.
Well, I know. I mean, he's not that young, but I mean, he ain't 40 or 50 years old either.
I thought
late 30s.
In wrestling age, when you get over the age of fucking 30, you're old, dude.
I still got hope for him, man. But they don't know what to do with him.
I thought that, I thought that he was their promising black guy.
Maybe Will Hobbs is.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
he's a hoss. He's a big boy. So,
gotcha.
But I thought Isaiah Cassidy stepped up huge for them. Mm-hmm. That match was good. You know, he definitely, after coming off that promo he cut on Jericho, I thought he showed up for the match. And then I'll tell you what, I love the seeds that was planted for MJF and Sammy Guevara feud. And maybe they kick Sammy out of the inner circle. Sammy turns into a huge baby face. Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Why? I don't see him turning into a huge baby face. Yeah, I definitely could see MJF in the inner circle at least.
Yeah. I can see MJF taking over the inner circle.
Mm. Bingo.
But more importantly, the number one question is did Chris Jericho ask MJF if he wanted to be in the inner circle?
That's why I say he can take over the inner circle.
He will.
Do not make Sammy a baby face. That is a really fucking bad move. Please, AEW, anyone, if you are listening,
please
do not do that, because that will kill the kid's career.
Yeah, exactly.
He is great the way he is, and bless him. Bless is his heart. May he get gains in the weight room and get bigger and bigger. He will. He will. He's going to get bigger. You watch. Next year, he's going to be like this.
How's that?
I made him like he ain't got no neck now.
Team no neck. Apparently, he's team no neck.
Was anybody happy with Young Buck's actions?
Yeah, I like it. It's fair. Like, this thing is failed with the Young Bucks. I mean, you love the guys overall. Like, I'm just saying, in general, people love the Young Bucks. It's hard to, you know, I don't know.
They're not doing enough heel shit. We talking about it's not heel shit. If you upset and pissed off at your job and you can super kick somebody, you're going to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe it's just my crazy butt. I'm just saying. I mean, like, wouldn't you feel a little bit happy? Your job is emotionally draining and annoying.
Don't argue on wants to bar our face.
All right, Dan. Well, look, let's jump right over into WWE SmackDown. And either you, Simon Street, or Matt Michaels, tell us what you like or dislike about that show this past week.
There was definitely a lot to like. I know King Lucky was super excited when Carmella got on and did her vignette. He's probably mouthwatering, salivating. There's probably all types of
hey, Mella.
Lotion everywhere, toilet paper roll that got used. You know, King Lucky loved him some Mella as money.
Mm-hmm. At least I was using tissue for that way, not when Sasha got beat down and you was crying.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, speaking of Sasha, great segue. I really like the quick brief promo that Sasha did. I think it was really good. I'm super excited to see what's that coming down. But what I really, really liked was, I'm going to say it, Roman Reigns. I really like, now, the reason why I like the segment with how he addressed his cousin is I have cousins that I treat as my brothers. And so I understand growing up, you know, even though you could go to war with one another, you still love them, you still family, but you like F you, right? So I like the whole interaction back and forth, how he was, you know, Roman setting it up. And, you know, obviously they're going to have a Hell in a Cell match. I'm just curious to see what that's going to look like. What is going to come of that?
It's a thing that is like this. It goes over the ring.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for the illustration. You know, I thought maybe I was going to have to use Braille to figure out what that one was. But what I mean by that is Jey Uso going to submit and finally say that Roman Reigns is the tribal chief, or is he just going to keep fighting and keep fighting? I think he's going to, you know, immediately say, you the one, you the tribal chief. And then we're going to move on.
That's how they start the tribal family. It's pretty clear cut. If they don't go that way,
then they're being WWE.
Well, no, it's just at that point, if you're not going that way, what validity does this have of Jay getting his ass kicked constantly?
It's true.
Makes no sense. So,
mm-hmm. Is there any other way that they can work themselves out of this angle?
Why would you want to?
Wouldn't.
No, I'm not saying work out of the total angle, but I'm saying, is there another finish that you could see for that match?
Do you want to put the title on Jay? You probably do.
No.
Why would you want any other scenario or solution? The obvious answer should be that you have him so broken that he realizes that the only thing you can do is help Blood out until you eventually can, you know, become the chief.
Mm.
Gives you layers of shit to work with for fucking years.
Yeah.
Not even just that, but too, I mean, and this is where you'll get excited, Mr. King Lucky. you know, if The Rock ever decides to take a break from the life he's living and decides to come back and involve himself in the storyline, I don't know. Maybe that's a Smart's greatest wet dream. But that'll be interesting how this plays out with who's at the head of the table.
Here last week?
So what? I wasn't here last week. I wasn't
okay.
here last week.
I thought I was fucking losing my mind. I'm hearing this feeling. Did we not talk about that last week? Okay, I wonder. By the way, that's how we know that you're not listening to the shows either.
Oh.
you just made yourself.
Oh, man.
Hey, man. I can't multiply myself to be in 50 places at once, but yes, I will try better to listen to the podcast when I'm not on it.
That's a foregone conclusion, The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's definitely happening. And I think that one thing that we'll see through this is that Jay will actually end up being the most loyal person out of the entire faction once it is going. Because he will be broken down so much. I think that was a perfect way to phrase it. But yeah, I definitely see that happening.
Who do you think they're going to add? Just thoughts.
Right? Everybody.
Every person imaginable.
Jimmy.
I'm serious.
Tamina.
Yeah.
Who else?
It makes a whole lot of sense to add those in there.
Yeah, Nia, Tamina. Yeah, all of them.
Is Naomi going to be able to be in there too? Is she part of the family?
No, Naomi's getting
it's only right. Pure blood. It's only pure blood.
Exactly.
We like Harry Potter up in here. Only pure blood.
I was happy to have read that that whole storyline is actually being written by Roman and Heyman. So the creative team is not even a part of it, which says a lot, right? It says a lot, you know.
This one get fucked up.
Yeah,
you know, I legitimately think that's a big reason why everything's going the way that it is mm-hmm. because Roman, he has so much pull with everything with that company, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't surprise me if he just went to Vince and said, "Hey, I'm turning heel." And I'm going to have Heyman with me, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if Roman Reigns has 100% creative control.
Yeah.
Well, it also makes more sense for this storyline anyways. You want to be as authentic as possible.
Definitely.
You know, and so far, again, I don't know too much about the Samoan dynasty, but we've gotten a lot of exposure throughout the years.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems to be as authentic as a fan could look at. And knowing that Roman is at the helm of the writing, I'm pretty sure he's deeply influenced by the family and kind of putting in that into play. I've liked it thus far. And y'all know I was never part of Team Roman Reigns. Not ever. I love this Roman Reigns because I was always the number one person that was against Roman Reigns. I did not like him as a face. He got on my last damn nerves. But I always said if he was heel, kicking ass, taking names, didn't care, that's the Roman Reigns that I want, and that's what I got. Thank you, WWE. Christmas came early for me.
I'll tell you what else also impressed me, too. I don't know who made the call, but for Jay to fight AJ Styles, and not only to wrestle him, but to get the win,
yes,
which huge for his credibility. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I thought that was another high spot in SmackDown. It was an excellent match.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe it's time, unless Michaels, you want to take it and talk about what was a great highlight, a continuation for SmackDown with regards to the Kevin Owens show and his guest, Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that the it's the best work we've seen Sami Zayn do in his whole career. So, you know, I think that you know, listen, they didn't need two championships. Him throwing it in the garbage was just exactly how it should have been. And boy, the ceiling is nothing but up for him.
Gosh, I love you, man. Did I ever tell you that? real talk, man. Real talk. You are like the Grinch that stole WrestleMania, man. For real. I want to teleport you in a group of Smarks. And just see you shit on their robes all day. Tape it. Bottle that some bitch up and put it on TV and make money.
So other than that, though, you will say you like that segment with Alexa Bliss.
I loved it. That was great.
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. I mean, yep. You know, I hopefully Kevin Owens finds something that, you know, because
we'll get to that.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, it was good. It was a hell of a segment. And I think Bliss is just really she's fully immersed in this role, and it just came off great.
Okay.
I really, well, the one that I was going to quickly say, I really liked how, when she was talking to Kevin Owens, how she really said, like, she's just mesmerized. She just watches. And first thing that popped in my mind was Manson. Because I remember seeing a documentary a long time ago how they interviewed some of the people that were in the Manson cult. And they would say they were just mesmerized. Every time he would speak, they would just listen and daze off. I was like, man, that's some creepy shit.
Stars just did a documentary that ran, I think, 8 weeks about the Manson murders. And it happened to coincide, like, right along this, you know. So they had her do the switch, and then we didn't see much of anything with it yet. And that documentary was airing during that point. I think someone put two and two together and said, yeah, hey, this is what we should do.
Yeah, she definitely is a follower, a cult-like follower, with her how she just loves the Fiend. It's interesting.
Gotcha. Yeah.
This was the best segment on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
without question. This was the highlight of the night for me. In a show that, you know, was pretty lackluster, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
This was the blow away moment. And yeah, amazing work by everybody involved. From Bliss actually changing the way and the way that she was phrasing things and the inflection that she used in her voice. And also she actually spoke with a little bit of a different, different syncopation as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be really great to see. And especially if she can continue that, you know, that continuity with everything.
Yeah. If she continued that, you ain't going to see Bliss for long because Hollywood's going to pick up on her.
You ain't lying there, brother.
Yeah.
You ain't lying there.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think that this could be huge for her.
Yeah, I don't think, 5 years down the road, she should be in movies, period. That's it.
Shit, her ass could be in The Strangers 3. If they made A Strangers 3, I could see her show up at someone's door ready to kill somebody with that blank.
She wants to have an actual career.
True.
So probably stay away from The Strangers.
Too much.
Yeah. You make a good point there.
All right. Is that it for SmackDown?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So look, I realized that I sent you guys the wrong link in the show notes, but I just sent you the correct link in your messenger for the New Japan Pro Wrestling. You don't have to talk too much about it, Cincy. I see that you got it. Only thing I wanted to see, I want to ask, as you kind of look through, you know, the G1 has been taking place. A lot of action has been happening daily. We see the records. It even breaks down, what happened actually with the last matches and everything. Is there anything that really stands out to any of you guys with their record? You know?
Yeah. A few things actually stand out to me. Okay. And the first thing that jumps off the page, if we look at the full standings so far,
mm-hmm.
Nobody in the tournament is undefeated.
Right.
So mm-hmm. basically you get 2 points for each win,
mm-hmm.
and everybody has wrestled 4 times. So it is extremely competitive, especially in the A block. You've got Taichi, Jay White, Will Ospreay, Minoru Suzuki, and Kota Ibushi all with 6 points right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our friend of the show, Jeff Cobb, is in there. He's got 2 points.
Yeah.
Obviously we want to see, more points out of him on that. Over in the B block though, you've got Tetsuya Naito, Tori Yano, and Juice Robinson with 6 points each. The thing that jumps off the page for me is fucking Yano has just as many points as absolutely everybody in the tournament. Now, if you're not familiar with Tori Yano, he is a comedy wrestler. He's not a wrestler, but he's a wrestler, and I'm using finger quotes.
Yeah.
Complete comedy gimmick. So I wonder if they're going to just say fuck it and have Yano go out of the B block and defeat, you know, Naito to get the to get the championship shot. But I genuinely hope that that's not the case. But if you are not familiar with New Japan Pro Wrestling, if you're just hearing me rattle off these names that don't make any sense to you, one thing that I would urge you to do is to get on YouTube or obviously New Japan World, or there are other websites where you may be able to get this.
Yeah.
Go out of your way to watch the Tomohiro Ishii match against Shingo Takagi. They beat the shit out of each other for 26 minutes, and it was absolutely brutal. It was a great match, one of the more hard-hitting matches that I've seen. And, you know, for New Japan, that's saying a lot. So,
Steve, I got a question for you, though. What do you get with Evil?
What do you mean?
What do you get with Evil?
I mean, he's got 4 points.
No, you get Dick to go.
What the fuck?
Well, no fucking done.
Oh, shit.
Well fucking done, brother.
That's hilarious. Let me ask you this, though, Sin City. Is Juice Robinson, is that a shock to see where he's at on this, or not really?
So I think Juice really put himself over in the in the U.S. New Japan shows, because obviously they had the dojo running in California, so there's no reason why they shouldn't put those guys, you know, to use out there and put on some great shows.
Yeah,
Juice Robinson has been doing a lot of amazing work, not just during the pandemic, but it was especially highlighted during the pandemic. Guy is absolutely killing it right now.
Yeah.
And that's another name that you actually could see coming out of the B block. And somebody that could actually get a shot. And of course, you know, we're going to have those people. Oh, well, he's a WWE guy, blah, blah, because he was CJ Parker in NXT. Most infamously known as the hippie that, you know, held up protest signs and hard-weighed Kevin Owens in his NXT debut by breaking his nose. So yeah, it's great to see how far he's come in both the ring and on the mic.
Absolutely. All right. Did anybody else want to mention anything about New Japan, or that's pretty much it? I know a lot of us don't really watch it, but we should. Because it's some Definitely, there's some good things happening, and it looks like the tournament continues on Monday. So when you guys hear this, you know it's going to be continuing tonight, or
about
maybe even
halfway
today.
Done.
Yeah, halfway. Okay, so I thought this would be pretty fun to do. We know that the draft starts on tomorrow as well, or I should say Monday today, and I'm just curious because we could be here all day. That's why I'm only going to give you one. Name who was the one person that you would like to see drafted from where to where. And then we're going to take a look and see when all this is over, you know, was your likings or predictions correct? So with that, who wants to take the first one? You only could choose one. I know it's hard.
Ricochet to SmackDown.
Say it again?
Ooh. Ricochet to SmackDown.
Ricochet to SmackDown. Okay. I'm writing this down here.
Any particular reasoning behind that?
Huh?
Any particular reasoning behind that?
Yeah. They've just buried him over on Raw. I mean, he's just – they have no use for him. At least on SmackDown, it's a working man show. He could be utilized better there.
He could work with Shorty G.
Fuck no. Hopefully Shorty G gets traded to the minor leagues.
Damn.
Out of WWE.
So much hate, man. So much hate.
Jesus. All right. Who want to go next?
All right, I'll go. Shit.
Okay.
Kevin Owens from Raw to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Wait, I think that he is...
He's actually on the Raw roster?
Exactly my point.
Okay. Because why was he on SmackDown?
So basically, I think that they set the wheels into motion for that this week. I don't know why in the hell you use the KO show as the vehicle for that segment, unless mm-hmm. he's coming over to the brand. Yeah. One thing that really makes me happy with that is, you know, KO has been over on Raw, and he's been in the background. He hasn't been used. He's not been on any major shows in the last year. And it's criminal how mm-hmm. they are misusing and underusing Kevin Owens in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm not just saying that because I look like him with the spike hair.
No, I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you. He'll be better served in SmackDown.
All right, Cyber Street, then you up next.
I'm going to go for the bold decision of sending all of Retribution home. I'm joking. But I kind of serious just a little bit. I'm definitely going to say someone we talked about earlier. I'm going to say Aleister Black SmackDown. The reason why I say that is I think that the gimmick that they had him with, they took it away. All these changes with him, it doesn't sit well with me, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that speaks that. I think it would be a bit of a fresh start. And as King Lucky did say, it's a working man's program. So I think it would be great to see Aleister Black there mix it up with the talent that's on there.
Okay. How about you, Matt Michaels?
I make a trade. I trade Bobby Lashley to Impact for Moose.
Oh.
That's funny.
Man, that's it. I'm serious.
You're really serious.
Bobby Lashley to go, period. Done.
Bobby Lashley.
To go, period.
Oh. Of the herd business.
He's the CEO.
Wow.
Yeah.
The championship goes with him.
Impact.
So
I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You asked us.
That's fine.
How about you come up with a name?
That's fine. I will say I'm thinking, and I know this is, I don't know, probably doesn't make sense, but probably Bayley. We haven't mentioned any women. Bayley over to Raw.
So they flipped off the champions?
Yeah.
Okay.
You said what? Let's say it again.
You're batting like a King Lucky here right now.
Oh. Hey, man.
You got to explain it. Explain
yeah,
it.
Yeah, what's your reason behind it?
Yeah, what's your reason for Bayley coming?
Welcome to my kingdom.
she's pretty much dominated SmackDown, right? So
but she's worked all the brands.
True. But why stay at SmackDown?
Because I mean, you're part of your ratings and you're on Fox, and that would be their natural instinct. I mean, that would just be from a company perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something like Lacey Ryan move her over. Or is she on Raw? No, she's on Raw, right?
Lacey Ryan.
Yeah, she wasn't Raw.
They're doing such a good job with her, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. You did say Lacey Ryan, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was a Lacey Ryan?
We're assuming that you mean Lacey Evans.
Lacey Evans, exactly.
Lacey Evans.
By the way. Street, if you know anything from listening to Lacey Ryan's interview, you know that she doesn't necessarily like that. So you're going to have to apologize to her when you see her.
All right. I would definitely apologize to her and whoop my ass because I know she whooped my ass. I want to get my ass whooped.
Michaels, give me a real spot you want to see Lashley at. Not an Impact.
I want to see him gone. Okay, if I have to make a fucking draft prediction.
Yes.
Just give me fucking one of the guys in the mask, those Lucha kids, put one on NXT. One of the Lucha brothers to NXT.
Wow.
Groucho or Harpo or whichever.
Oh my God. You say Harpo? Yeah. From the color purple?
From the color purple.
You said Harpo. Did you say Harpo?
You just made the biggest cultural, like, a black person, white person. We can't be any clearer.
You said Harpo. I'm, only one Harpo in the world.
No, there's Harpo Marx, the actual Harpo from Think exactly. Baseline. But because I'm white, I get that. Because you're black, you go color purple. And well, that's
shit, I didn't know the Harpo.
You know,
I didn't know. Go for the Harpo. You know, shit.
That's what I'm saying. We just set race relations back like fucking 200 years.
Man. Oh my Lord.
Oh man.
I can see it now. Go for the Harpo. You know, and have somebody spit in a glass of lemonade.
All right, guys. That's going to be our.
Jesus.
Oh man. And you also could be a sponsor. Just let us know. We'll take you in. Guaranteed. Anyway, we do thank everybody, though, for listening or for watching us. With that, we will see you next week. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.